this episode, I talked to Snuffy, an artist in New York City, tattooing for about 4 years. Snuffy specializes in black and gray and a sort of fine-line surrealism style. But what's unique about his tattoos is that each piece is a visual interpretation of what his clients write into him. In other words, each tattoo is telling the story of his client. Snuffy's also getting ready to launch a new project he's been working on for the last couple years that's called Looking In. He explains what it is in this episode, but you can find out more information on the website lookingin.nyc. I had a chance to experience it myself, and it was absolutely amazing. My name is Jake Berry, and this is The Fine Line. Snuffy, thank you for doing this with me.
Thank you for having me on here, Jake. I appreciate it.
Last time we spoke, I actually left the conversation feeling very inspired, and I'm going to tell you why, is because you got me thinking about doing my tattoos in a more, I guess, having more intention in my designs, and I think I just needed that. I think I needed a bit of, I don't know, like a spark of inspiration, you know, that doesn't come very often. So when it does, I'm grateful. So thanks for that.
That means a lot. Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that.
Where do you find your inspiration?
I find it in music, I think. If I really bring it back to like the one utility that gets me going all the time, it's music. I love watching old concerts. And I love listening to old music and just kind of imagining what inspired that. So that's one inspiration. Another massive inspiration is walking.
Just like being outside?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the city, you walk and you look, especially when you're alone, and you just observe. Mm-hmm. And then, it doesn't have to be the city, it's in nature too. So I guess it's just being alone with my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And furniture. I like furniture.
Me too.
What are your inspirations? Where do you find inspiration?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think most, shower thoughts are a thing. You know, I think I have shower thoughts. And
yes.
And driving, like, because I drive to work every morning and home, obviously. And I drive by myself. And, like, during that time, I usually don't listen to music. I don't listen to anything. It's just, like, quiet. And sometimes it's, like you said earlier, you get carried away. Sometimes I get carried away where it's, like, I could be arriving to work and be, like, oh, shit, I have this new idea that I have to do right now, and I have a tattoo coming in 5 minutes, so I have to like get it under control.
Well, there's so we're saying the same thing. It's being alone.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
Somewhat being in motion. The problem is with yours versus mine is it's not. I can just walk and write.
Yeah.
My ideas down, but you can't write your ideas down in the shower or driving unless you get a marker.
Yeah, I think like sometimes I'll do like voice notes on my phone while I'm driving.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just fucking with you though.
Oh.
Yeah. I was just fucking with you.
Yeah, yeah. I think being alone is a good one. And I think like it's funny because I think like the younger you are, being alone, you almost like try to avoid being alone. And you're like, oh, if I have free time, it's like, what are my friends doing? You know, what can I fill this time with? You know, and then as you get older, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I'm like, geez, I would give anything for like that time again to be bored and to be like, what should I do right now? You know?
Yeah, I could not relate to it more. It's also why a precursor to this, you know, the project that I'm doing, Looking In, it's because of that. It's because everything, I feel like everything we live through right now is designed to sell us something and like distract us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to distract us like from ourselves.
Yeah.
So you know, sell us like, you know, sell me a pair of shoes so that I feel better about myself instead of addressing why I might not feel like good about myself.
So it's to avoid having to look in.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at like look at what you just said about getting older and wanting that time and having that and wanting that peace, and being young right now must be so hard. It must be so hard to be a young person with infinite things being thrown at you. Like, it's everybody's doing everything and they're all doing it better than you.
Yeah.
You know, and they're young and they're doing it better and faster and cooler. And here, look at it. You know? Like, it's, and man, it must be so hard. I mean, I know that it must be so hard because it's hard for me and I'm not, you know, I'm not young. Yeah. So to get that time alone, it's so valuable. And I long for it all the time. Yeah. I want to be alone so that I can understand myself, because that's where my best work comes from, is from being in touch with like exactly how I feel and why.
I think it's what you're saying is very true and interesting about like all the distractions that we're dealing with on a regular basis. And I don't know, I feel like in a way it can be motivating, but in another way it could be discouraging. And I think like with that level of discouragement and almost like being overwhelmed with it, what everyone else is doing, it could be challenging, you know, as an artist to be like, especially a tattoo artist where you don't get to pick and choose when you are feeling like, you know, when you have to do the work, you can't be like, well, I'm not feeling inspired, you know? It's like your client's sitting there waiting for you to start, and you know they're like, this is their day. They paid a lot of money. They're like, they've been waiting for a long time. Maybe they, you know what I mean? It's like such a big deal to them. So for the days that you're not feeling that level of inspiration, because I feel like every tattoo artist can relate to the days where you're like, I can't be here right now. I can't do this. You know, I'm not there mentally, but they are, and they're ready for you. And they're expecting you to perform like, you know, full speed ahead. You know, how do you handle that?
Oh, sure. I have an easy one. Two things. It's about having conscientiousness. It's about being prepared. And so with tattooing, how do I deal with maybe not feeling motivated when I'm supposed to be performing is preparedness. I spend days and days designing the tattoo before they arrive. Then they get there and we talk. And like, sometimes it's not very often, but it happens, you know, where they're just like, I don't know, like it just doesn't, you know, I could see it on their face. And I'm just like, hey, like, this is your body. It's forever. We'll, you know, we can make adjustments. It's fine. But anyway, to answer your question, is the hard part is the making the art. The fun part that is that meditative thing is being the technician and applying the art to the skin.
Yeah.
For me, the hard part is creating something fucking magical every time. That's really difficult. You know, it's like if you were the cat guy or whatever and you just tattooed cats, then that's what you do, you know? And like, of course, there's difficulty in doing that as well. But it's you can get in that flow and you can and you can start just doing the cats and you have to think about it. But like, I guess for people that are sought after for creating something, you know, very personal to the client, It's tough. So I never want to catch myself in a spot where a client shows up and I'm just like, don't have anything for them. So really, yeah. It just comes down to being prepared. And so over the course of a few days, I use my tools of music and walking and anything I can that really inspires me at that moment. And I just become my client based on what they wrote me.
Yeah. Because you said to me before, like in every tattoo, you literally will pour your soul into that piece. Mm. And so like I could imagine, I mean, and I think a lot, not that other tattoo artists don't do that, right? So, because like I like to say I put in everything I got into each tattoo that I do. But right. I think like for you and what you're describing is like your designs, like you'll have your client write you a story, right? And correct me if I'm wrong about this process, but you'll have your client write you a story, like their story. And then you will interpret, like create a visual interpretation of that story, right? Mm-hmm. Which could be exhausting if you're like, for every tattoo that you're doing, you're putting that much effort in, which I was going to ask you, how many tattoos can you possibly do a week with that? If you're working on a design for days sometimes, like how do you manage your time?
yeah, that's a great point. I don't do that many tattoos for that reason, because, mm-hmm. you know, I could do 4 or 5 tattoos a week. The really cool thing is over these few years or whatever, I've just become more and more trained to think outside the box and really create stuff that feels like ethereal, feels special, feels different. I don't know if ethereal is the right word because I don't do so much like atmospheric backgrounds and stuff. But yeah, like don't get me wrong. Like I can whip up designs. Like I have a backlog of a lot of things mm-hmm. that I've thrown at the board. And but it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of energy to think. So like yeah. Everything just needs to have intention, you know. And I'll tell you what, like I've gone through burnt out phases for a lot of my career, and mm-hmm. And really taking a break here and there, it has made me so grateful to have this career. Like it's yeah. so powerful that people come and just, I don't think I have one of those faces or voices or anything that makes people want to tell me stuff. But for whatever reason, through this career, it's evolved to that. So I was like at the restaurant down the street and like, and I saw somebody that I had whatever interacted with. And I was just like, hey, how are you doing? And they just, I guess, could tell that I was sincerely asking them. And they're like, well, kind of doing rough and all this stuff. And I was just like, yeah, look, I'm here for you if you ever want to, you know, chat. And yeah. I think it's because of this job and because, like, the best part of tattooing for me is genuine interaction with people. I only do really one person a day if I'm, you know, tattooing that day. And, yeah, I don't particularly find me to be special either. Like, I think there's a bunch of tattooers that do this. That like
yeah.
take people's stories and interpret them. And yeah, I'm going on one of those tangents. I think it's really important it's important for me on record right now to make sure whoever's listening that I'm really grateful for every client I've ever had and all the people that have been involved in my tattoo career that allowed me to reach this point. Because it's like, it really saves my life and it changed my life. And so, yeah, I hope I never sound like I'm whining about something. And I never want to bring a problem without a solution. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I don't think you are coming across that way at all. I think I'm the one asking questions about what do you do when it's hard and you don't feel like it, you know? So I probably sound whiny. No. But... I ask because I know based off of what you've told me, I know how much you put into your work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that burnouts happen, and like that it's normal for every artist. I think that the weird thing for me that I can't wrap my head around really, or I've just thought about it a lot in my career, is the difference between a tattoo artist and like a painter or an author or a musician is like they have the luxury of time and the luxury of like working when they feel like it, you know? So like if you're not to say that, you know, authors don't have to write, you know, work through writer's block, and I understand that happens and everything like that. But I think as a tattoo artist, you have to work through writer's block at like a whole new level, you know, because it's like for a lot of people, it's like 4 or 5 days a week, you mm-hmm. have to be on it, you know, and if you're not on it, you shouldn't be tattooing someone, you know, because it's there forever. Like it's like, yeah. And I think that kind of, I don't know, that mindset or that expectation as an artist to switch into that gear is like very, I feel like, unnatural for a lot of people that think artistically or that are artists, you know. But it's good in another way, and this is me going on a tangent now, but it's great in another way because it forces that work ethic, you know, and it like now you have no choice but to be on it, you know, and you have to learn how to like save your energy for certain times of the day or certain days of the week, you know, or save your whatever, that battery life, mm-hmm. and use it in, like, you know, with intention, I guess. But I think that's why I'm asking someone like you, is because for, you know, for people that show up, like you said, and it's like, do cats,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it might not require as much mental battery, you know, it might not require as much power, yeah. thought power. So,
well, it's, I think it's great. I think this touches on like the challenges of an artist and like basically like what to do when you feel unmotivated.
Yeah.
But it also touches on this wild expectation of the world, of everybody, whether you're like a content creator or a artist or whatever, via social media, mm-hmm. you're just expected to produce shit to entertain people like all the time, you know,
all the time.
And so when it comes to maybe feeling unmotivated artistically, right? Like, oh my God, there's so many avenues to take. So number one is to find a way to take life into our own, you know, to become autonomous. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we could start with like tattooing, right? Well, if you're feeling burnt out from tattooing and you're really an artist, then find a new medium.
Mm.
And express yourself creatively through that. You know, if you find yourself like in a hole tattooing 3 or 4 days, I mean, think about this. Like, so Da Vinci is recorded has only painted 18 paintings in his life.
Hmm.
You're talking about doing,
wow.
You're talking about doing fucking 4 tattoos a week. You know,
that's
what I mean?
That's my point.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck no. You know, so it's about, yes, you're talking about saving your battery for a certain hour. I'm talking about saving your battery for your lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, find out how to, you know, by the standards of Da Vinci, it's like, I already did my best work.
Hmm.
And now I need to iterate. You know, any of these paintings that were painted, right? They start with a sketch. Then that sketch, they'd make a baby painting of it. And then they make a bigger painting of it. And it's like, that's sort of how I've, just by accident, without even knowing, done my work. So I did that piece called Get Back In Here. It's the man coming out of the computer, grabbing his head. Then I animated it. Then I animated on skin. Then I hand drew it. Then I animated that. And then I turned that into a light box that that is showing at the gallery that reps me in Manhattan. And now it's a sculpture. And the sculpture is like 2 feet big. And then now...
That's what you were showing me last time, is it? on your table.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's, anyway, so I just went on a crazy tangent. And the point is this, the expectations of us, of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
because of this, because of what we see on the internet, it's unfair. It's like unfair of us to us. It's an injustice. And I think we need to give ourselves more of a, like a little bit more of a break, you know?
Yeah.
We're, when it comes to tattooing, we're putting art on people's skin and it's supposed to mean something. I also, by the way, I've tattooed like a pizza on somebody. So like,
yeah.
So I'm not trying to sit here and be like, every tattoo needs to mean something, because it doesn't. Like,
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
But the point is like, if we're really being serious, you know, we need to find new ways to express ourselves. If we're really being artists about it, we need to find new ways to express ourselves that gives us that creative freedom, right? And I would say as a tattooer, it's like if you are tattooing 4 days a week and you're feeling burnt out, then raise your prices and tattoo a little less.
Yeah.
Because that's, 'cause it's not just the tattoo, it's your time. It's your headspace. It's your... You know, you want to have a long, illustrious career, and at, you know, Arizona Iced Tea just raised their prices, which so you should fucking raise your prices if you need to. Also,
for those of you that don't know what Arizona Iced Tea is, for any listeners that aren't in the U.S., they're notoriously 99 cents for as long as I can remember.
50 years.
Is it 50 years, 99 cents?
I'm going to look it up right now. Hold on, hold on.
That was like always as a kid, I was always like, do you know how many Arizona iced teas I can buy with this?
How long was Arizona iced tea 99 cents? Let's see. For 30 years.
Wow, that's crazy.
For 30 years, it's been 99 cents. And they just raised their prices. So if you're a tattooer and you're tattooing till you're burnt out and your fingers are falling off and bleeding, raise your fucking prices, because your time is valuable. And if you want to keep creating something meaningful and unique, then you need that. You need that. It's like, here's a perfect example.
Yeah.
You wouldn't appreciate the sun if it didn't rain. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't appreciate... the sound of music if there wasn't any silence in it.
Yeah.
So, raise your prices.
Well, I think that's great advice. And even, like, the idea of, like, not just relying on tattooing for your creative outlet. Like, you need to have something else. And I think that that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, when I said to you, you know, that I left our conversation last time feeling inspired, I started drawing after that. For no purpose. Like, it wasn't for a tattoo. It wasn't for any... I just drew a rose with pencil on paper. And and I loved it. And I loved every second of it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do something else now. And I think that, like, it tapped in... I could see it in my tattooing after that. Like, it tapped into that side of my brain, you know, because it was just different. It was a different angle or something, you know?
There's also a lesson that I've learned from as well is to not lose focus. So, you know, I think for me, it's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. You basically learn something in the beginning. You're like, you think that you're a genius. Like, you think that you know everything. But then, so it's like immediately, like, you learn nothing about the topic and then you're like, I'm an expert. And then you continue to learn more about it and you're like, oh, I don't know shit about this. And I don't know shit. And I don't know shit. And then you start to. And so I think it's really important in that way, like, to remain focused on the task at hand. So if your career is tattooing and you're succeeding in that, and then all of a sudden you take on some sort of new artistic endeavor and it sort of peaks. Well, you got to stay focused. you gotta stay grounded. You know, you can't, you like, you know, I look at some people that are, some tattooers that just, that's what they're doing. That's it. They're not doing any brand collaboration, creative direction, anything like that. They are tattooing. And man, they are just fucking skyrocketing. It's amazing. Wow. It's really impressive to watch some people that I've seen just like shout. I'll shout out this girl, Arabelle. When I went to LA for the first time, I was just like, I went into the shop, got the thing. She was an apprentice out there and we became friends. She's out in LA. And like, dude, she's crushing it. Just like skyrocket. Because that's it. She's consistent. She's creative. And she's putting out solid work. And it's all the things are hitting for her. You know, I mean, I don't know from the optics of it, is what I mean to say.
So you're saying maybe consolidate your brand as a tattoo artist to like just focus on one part of it? Because that's like almost impossible nowadays, isn't it? Like, you know, if you want to grow as a tattoo artist and be successful, mm-hmm. you could argue that you have to like learn all these other things that have nothing to do with tattooing before you can begin to think that you'll be successful. Do you know what I mean? Is that bad of me to say? Because I feel like that's just
like what?
The scary reality of it. Like,
what do you
like,
need
for
to
example,
learn?
Just like content creating, mm-hmm. how to take good photos, how to take videos of your work, how to interact with your followers online, you know, how to communicate on email, how to like, you know, how to be organized as a business person, mm-hmm. you know, there's all these like skills or, I mean, you don't have to do all those things and you could just go work in a shop somewhere and take whatever comes in. But I think like to take it to that next level, there's so much that goes into it now. And I think it takes away from tattooing sometimes, you know, it can take away from just focusing on being a tattoo artist.
I'll just let you talk the rest of the time. Cause you're saying everything that I'm thinking. So,
all right, well, that's good. Yeah. I'm not crazy then, but like I don't know. I think like social media, for example, I think is the biggest thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And like, as a tattoo artist, you're like, you said it earlier, like you're thinking constant, it's like demanding so much from you, you know, you have to be thinking about what to post, what to put on your story, how often, what time, there's all these different, like,
I have an answer for you.
Okay.
I have an answer for everybody listening. That's a tattooer. That's feels the pressure. Take a deep breath. Make solid art, tattoo it, and post it whenever the fuck you want to, and just repeat, and just do it for yourself. Imagine everything that you tattoo, that if you would want to have it on yourself or not. That's how I do it. That's how I design things. And just keep it simple. There's so much noise. And like, look, I might be contradicting myself like 17 different ways in this entire thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, delete the noise and just make stuff that you're proud of. Learn how to fucking photograph and video it, because that's important. You need to document your work. And for me, I've done like, oh my God, I'd say like 95% of the tattoos I do, nobody's ever seen them. Because I don't know how to fucking take pictures. You know, I don't know how to, and that's a problem. Like, dude, I've done amazing tattoos where I'm just like, this is unreal. And I look at the photos and I'm just like, what?
What happened?
Yeah, what? I could have sworn this was, and it's just, you know, it's
what do you think, like, is the best way to represent your work? Because I've seen this, and this might be a touchy topic, mm-hmm. and I know that certain people listening will have different answers, but there's people out there that argue that you should only take a photo with your iPhone, don't edit it, don't take out saturation, don't do any brightness adjustment, contrast adjustment.
Yeah.
And just and that's how you should post your work.
Mm-hmm.
And like I understand the thought behind that, but my argument is like, well, that's not how it looks in real life. Like it looks worse on this phone picture right. that I just took than it does in real life. In real life, it looks like you just said, it looks amazing, mm-hmm. looks so exactly how I want it to look, but my phone is not capturing or representing this in the best way possible. So why would I post an unedited dark iPhone photo?
Right. So what's the question?
Like, why is that the correct reflection of your work? Who decided that that is the
It's a great question. Who did decide that? I'm not gonna,
I don't know.
I think look, there's a balance. There's definitely how do I put it? Egregious editors of photos. There's
yeah.
people who I see their tattoos on the internet and I'm just like, this is like this is fraudulent. Like this is not
yeah, yeah, yeah.
like this is so far removed from what I would see in real life because I fucking that same client came to me and got a tattoo for me and I was like, wait, what? This is that? And yeah, I'm like, yeah. no.
Yeah.
So there's a line there. Like I see no issue with desaturation. When I first started my career, I liked that aesthetic, just black and white. But yeah. then I sort of learned by studying photography, which, by the way, I didn't study well at all. That's a fucking lie. I didn't study photography. I just read some shit about it. So I probably didn't even do that. I probably just spoke to a photographer. That's probably what happened. Just unpack this whole thing real quick. So, but what I was informed of is like, yeah, like desaturation is like cheating in photography because it's like an equalizer of everything. Mm. What do I know? You know what I'm saying? So as I grew, I was like, okay, actually enjoy seeing some of the skin color.
Tone.
Yeah, skin tone.
Yeah.
It was more authentic. So that's the way I did. But in earlier in my career, it was kind of cheating. Like it definitely helped with all sorts of things. So, you know.
Would you call it cheating? Like, is it cheating? Like, did in other words, when you looked at that photo, mm-hmm. desaturated, mm-hmm. did it look like, did it look not like your tattoo?
Look, it's a product, and that this is where we have a crazy thing, right? People will go around and show their Jake tattoo while it's on their skin. They'll still show it on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, they'll go out to the bar and be like, check out this tattoo I got. And then they'll show you on the phone. So now the product that they're buying... it's represented.
It's the picture of the tattoo.
It's the picture of the tattoo. So to answer your question, like, it's not cheating in that regard. But
yeah.
there's this, like, look, it's a fucking tattoo. And when all is said and done, the power grids go off. All we got is us, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I guess tattoo's on your skin and, like, is it what I'm representing?
Does it look good?
Does it look good? And so, I don't know. My line is like, I have some general rules that I abide by, which is like, I want to make sure that you could see the pores on the skin.
Mm.
And sometimes people have like really no pores. It's hot, like, it's just their skin, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
I like to make sure you see the pores. And when... really what I'm making sure I'm doing if I'm adjusting a photo is that it looks the way it looks in real life.
Exactly. That's
the adjustments that I'm making. You know, I want to
see, because I feel like that's what I try to do with my photos. Right. And like I said, the photos don't do it justice, right? The tattoo, in my opinion, always looks nicer in real life than it does on any photo. Mm-hmm. Unless you're literally photoshopping, like you're saying, and like, I don't know, straightening lines or whatever.
Yeah.
Then that's ridiculous. But and like you're saying, there's a fine line between like the McDonald's advertisement where the picture of the cheeseburger is perfect. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, I want that. And then you walk in and you order and it looks like shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is not what was on the picture. So that is obviously wrong. Okay. As a tattoo artist, you shouldn't be McDonald's. I hope I don't get sued for saying that. I don't think I would.
Would you get sued?
This podcast isn't big enough to.
Let's get it there.
But say like there's a fine line between that, right? Or taking like Nike, taking a really good, well-lit photo of their shoe. Mm-hmm. It's like, and you get it in the mail. And it's like, yeah, that looks like the photo. But just the photo is like with really great lighting and a great camera.
Wow. Right? What a good example. Wow. Okay.
Thank you. That was off the top of my head.
That was awesome. Like, I never would have had... maybe the McDonald's. Wow. Yeah, there is a... I think this all arose from talking about the things that we have to learn to be good at, at this profession. And, yeah, you need to be good at a lot of things. You need to be personable. You need to be fucking cool and cutting edge and come up with special shit and be a solid technician and understand your craft. And yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. No doubt about it. I think without Instagram, I would not have a career. The way that and I
same,
have it today.
Same with me.
Yeah. Like I've, I owe a great, deal of debt, would that be the right way to say it? I have great whatever the fuck to Instagram.
I don't know, yeah.
Because it allowed me to reach the masses and it was like trial by fire. And people were like, oh, I fuck with what this person is putting out there. And like, I agree, I want that. And so if that is a double-edged sword. And, you know, so I can't sit here and be like, it is so demanding of us. Without saying it has given me so much.
Yeah, of course. And it is. It is. Absolutely.
And so the solution really comes down to finding out exactly what you want out of life, out of your career. Mm. And it doesn't have to be your whole life because it's fucking crazy. But it should just start with what you want this week and then what you want in a month. Yeah. And then in a year and then in 5 years. And just figure out what you want. Because if you don't know what you want, then you're just going to wander around. So that, and then when you fucking when you figure that out, you just do it. Put the blinders on and do it. And in the the sake of tattooing, it's just like go in, do solid work, and you know, make on the go adjustments. You know? And like that's the only way that I can combat this whole idea of like keeping up with social media. It's just just do work. Just like do the thing that makes your time disappear. Like your meditation. Yeah. Do that thing that makes you that gives you that clarity.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Not that like there's not that I think or believe that there's like a solution out there to what we're talking about. I guess, it's just that, like, social media, for example, in particular, has brought a lot of good things to the tattoo industry specifically, and also a lot of, like, challenging things, right? So it's like, in one way, without it, we would have never, ever been where we're at now in the tattoo industry. Mm. Like, no one would be charging these prices. Mm-hmm. No one would be traveling around the world. No one would be, do you know what I mean? That wouldn't exist without it.
Not at the scale. Not at like Joe Schmo from wherever the fuck flying over to this shop over here, you know.
Yeah.
But you would still have your like celebrity people. Yeah. So totally with you. Yes.
I guess what social media has also brought to the tattoo industry is like, I guess personally for myself, I've noticed times where I have to go I have to remind myself, like, oh yeah, that probably wouldn't be cool to wear on you for the rest of your life, even though it would look cool on Instagram as a photo on my feed.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's you also know? Another thing. It's like, we're like putting things on people, you know? So we have to have good taste. Like, that's part of the responsibility of our job. When you come to us, it's totally our responsibility to, like, you know, understand what's cool, what's not in the tattoo world, and mostly to understand, like, what's being turned into a fad, or you know, what's being turned into a trendy. Everybody who's listening, Jake and I just talked about a lot of controversial drama that we just cut out for you because you're not allowed to hear it. So now we're going to move on to the idea of all the great things the internet has done for us, but also some of the bad things, and then what I and my team built to hopefully give us some tools to combat the bad. It's a good segue, right? Forward segue?
That was great. Great transition, yeah.
And so we've discussed the great things of the social media and the bad things. So we'll say that social media has undeniably connected us, but it's also desensitized us. It's made communication less meaningful, I think, if I had to say. So, you know, you can go like shit talk somebody and then just turn your phone off and fucking go to Chick-fil-A and eat a sandwich. Meanwhile, the person you just shit talked, depending on your power or your reach, is having a complete life crisis.
Yeah.
And that's insane.
That is crazy. Yeah. Like, to your point, like, it could ruin, like, your shit talking could ruin someone's career.
Yeah.
Depending on how you do it. Yeah.
Right. And
or life. Like,
or yeah. life. Yeah, just totally for outside of tattooing entirely.
Yeah.
And so, man, what a crazy tool. Like,
yeah.
I'm old enough that when I traveled in the early 2000s or whatever, like, I would go to like see my family in Israel or whatever, and like I didn't have a phone. Like, there was a time where you went to another country and there was no phone. Like,
yeah,
that was, you know, that was crazy to me when like Verizon was like, you can now use your New York number when you travel to Europe. And I was like, this is bananas. And so now, just to give perspective, and then there's people older than me that are like, we used to write letters to each other.
Send a postcard. Yeah.
So like whatever. But yeah, just to zoom out and say like and say basically like with all the good comes bad as well and vice versa. And so me and my team built this tool called Looking In, where you go through this experience we built. I spent all year drawing and creating these pieces of art that are directly related to people's personality facets. So you go through this experience, you answer some questions, and then you're paired with art that I've like never tattooed before. So it's available to everybody at lookingin.nyc. And what happens is you go through this sort of like event thing that we built online. And at the end of it, you're paired with art that is directly related to your personality. And you're given like a clinical assessment of who you think you are. But over the last few years, I wanted to really like dig deeper. And I thought, okay, how do I make other people feel? And and how do they perceive me? Because who I think I am is just as important as how I make other people feel and how others perceive me. And how do I like get that information? You know, how do I get this like feedback loop to figure out who I am via like by way of my close circle?
Yeah. In the eyes of other people. Yeah.
Right. And so that's what we built. So basically you do the thing, you get your results, but then you get to invite your close circle to do it about you. And so there's of course like this idea of, so before I go on a tangent, the project, like the hope of the project is for people to like approach life with a little bit more compassion.
Mm. And just to clarify, you like all the artwork is designed by you.
Yes. All the artwork's designed by me. It's all hand drawn, and it's these compositions, they've never been tattooed before. Mm-hmm. I will be tattooing all of them at some point.
Cool. Nice.
And
there's a variety of arrangements with the designs.
Yeah, so there's all the designs are based on personality facets. So there's 30 facets in the Big Five personality categorization. Mm-hmm. And those 30 facets are categorized into 5 domains. So those domains are openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. So within each domain are 6 facets. So each of those facets has a centerpiece that is, for the most part, the same as the other 6 facets because they're in that family.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted, because of course, like for the people who are like into this digital art craze, like this is a way to categorize and like group people into tribes by being able to identify them with this unique silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
But for the rest of the world, like, you know, if you don't give a shit about like the digital art NFT stuff, then like this is a project. Think about it like this. If this project was a museum, then owning it as an NFT is like buying the poster through the gift shop.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like there's way more to the museum than owning the NFT of it. Right. So the NFT is just like, it's like the merch of the project in that regard.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because like you're saying, the way you perceive yourself and the way you think you come off to others, like so often, and in my experience anyways, is extremely different to how I'm coming off to people, mm-hmm. You know, and like, it's almost like, have you ever caught a moment of yourself when you're having a conversation with someone and you get a glimpse of yourself in the mirror and the face you think you're making is not the face you're making in the mirror?
Right. Yeah. I was.
How is that happening?
I was actually at the bakery the other day and I saw this guy being animated with with his friend who's like from another country. And I was just like, wow, I hope I don't ever sound that way. And like for sure I have, you know, so
yeah,
I might sound that way right now, you know. So,
yeah, no, it's weird, isn't it? Like, it doesn't always line up.
It's weird because who is the person best equipped to teach you about yourself?
That's a great question. Your therapist?
No. In my opinion, which is not like licensed or whatever, I think, you know, your ex, like, partner. Right after you break up, it's like maybe a month or two after, when like the hot headedness is gone. And this will never happen, so like whatever. But for them to give you feedback. You don't shower enough. You keep your place dirty. You don't let other people finish their sentences. You yell at the waiter. You know, who the fuck is going to tell you this shit? You know? Like, dude, I got back from dinner last night and I had like something on my cheek and I was with 2 of my best friends. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, you know, so this is designed for people to be vulnerable, but in a little bit more of a safe way, I suppose, you know? And it's like, Yeah.
I think you're absolutely touching on good things, and I wanna kind of touch on something, and you can take this in a different direction if you want, but and it's something you've said to me before that I thought was amazing, is like, this almost feels like a way for people to go through that therapeutic side of getting tattooed in a more tangible way, because getting tattooed can often be a therapeutic experience for people, where it's like, I'm expressing myself, sharing myself with this artist who is now giving me a piece of me, or what I'm sharing with them. You know what I mean? So it's like you explained how you get people to tell you a story, to share who they are to you, and you interpret that and into a tattoo. And now this is a way where it's more accessible for other people to have that experience, get that artwork in return, and kind of get more insight on who they are, kind of maybe like get an idea of thing, or maybe allow them to see parts of themselves that they didn't realize were there. Is that right?
Totally. Most of the world is interested in who they are. And I'd say more people are interested in who they are than there are people interested in getting tattooed. Yeah. So this project, you don't need to have tattoos or want tattoos or anything to look into yourself and learn a little bit more. And really that's the win. The win is hopefully people take some time to discover themselves, or just be asked these really like simple, not unique questions that are totally really selling this well, by the way, as these bullshit ass questions. For people to actually go through this process and and answer some questions that are not always, that are just not at the front of the mind. They're not like,
yes.
And even if they are, they're just being suppressed, because it's like, I gotta get to work. I can't think about, if I'm doing the thing that I love to do and how to not do this anymore so that I can do the thing that fulfills me.
Mm-hmm.
Who has time for that? Fucking
yeah.
Maybe us, because we're like talking about, where do you get inspiration? Oh, just walking around. But yeah, the point is like, I found a lot of joy in making this project because when it comes to creating art that's not on the skin, there's some things that I drew in there that are just like, I scribbled them and I was just, it wasn't perfect, and it's like, and I was like, this is just how I feel. Like, I just want to do this. Like, fuck it, And then there's some things that are just immaculate. And it's like, for me, it's like, there's such freedom in that. And it's like, and on top of that, if anybody wants to get this stuff tattooed on them, like, you have my permission to do that. Get it tattooed. And that's also kind of the funny thing about doing some shit that's like, some of the faces are a little, janky, I was going to say. Some of the faces are a little, like, wobbly or whatever. And it's like, you want to tattoo it, then pick yourself a good reference. Like, here's the idea. I gave you the idea. Now you can fill in the blanks and make it your own. And on top of that, it's just like, that's just what the fuck I decided to do. So
tell me what the hardest part of this process was for you. Like, because obviously you poured a lot of time and energy into this and a lot of thought. And you've worked at it for a long time now. And it's important to you. And when things are important, I think you're faced with more challenges, the more important it is. So like, tell me some of those and what they were.
The greatest challenge in modern time is spending this much energy on one project and watching the rest of the world drop 10 projects from January till now. I have friends that have done 10 projects in digital art. And I'm over here, just doing this one.
That taps into like just constantly comparing ourselves to everyone else online and totally. What people are doing. Yeah.
That's challenge number one. Challenge number two is, do people even want to know about themselves? Like, you know, it's like, you know, it's believing that people want to be introspective, like doing this entire project and being so close to it. And then being like, is this going to be received well? And I think as an artist, when you're trying to break the mold and do stuff that maybe hasn't been done, that's sort of the greatest. That's the thing that keeps me up at night, is like, is this the thing, you know? Is this like, are people going to receive this well? I guess my greatest thing that makes me... people say, oh, what makes you feel shitty? I guess, I don't know. I'd say feeling not heard, you know, having my work not be received or falling on deaf ears. Anyway, so the challenge was the stamina of believing in myself throughout this year, watching, like, am I doing the right, should I just shut up and just tattoo? You know what I mean?
I know. And I think like, I think everyone that is working on a project for a long time gets that fear, like toward, especially towards the end, where you're like, have I wasted all of my time?
Right.
And I think like, it's almost like this fear that creeps in that it's like, because it can be so hard to, that's the hardest part sometimes, is just finishing it, you know? But when you're towards the end, it's like, you just keep hearing that thing is like, am I wasting my time? Like, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, fair play to you for seeing your way through that, because I think more people would be successful if they just finished their ideas, you know? Or just like, now I'm getting into quantity, and that's not what I mean, but you get what I'm saying.
Look, the balance is if you were waiting for a perfect piece of music or a perfect piece of art, that's where you're working on, then you would only have one piece of art, and it would never be done for your whole life. So what music taught me was how to accept that this is the snare sound that I'm putting into this song. And that's it. Because when I listen to it after 6 years or 10 years or 15 years later, I hear the song and I remember the emotion. I feel it, right? And that's the emphasis. It's not, man, I should have changed that snare 10 years ago.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
So it's just about taking shots, pulling the trigger, and knowing when to say, okay, this is enough, right? And that's that comes into design. That comes into everything. And with this project, I'm looking at it not as a project looking into NYC. I'm looking at this project as, actually, this is a project where forever people can interact. Like, I can't speak to everybody in the world, but I can at least encourage people to speak amongst themselves, you know, because the information that you're seeking, I don't possess that. Your close circle possesses it about you. So this is like the attempt to have the world be, if every circle of people just was a little bit of this like glowing orb of understanding, and you know, you realize like, I mean, again, I've said this many times, like people are just out here trying to make it. They're not out here trying to hurt each other. But along the way, you kind of have these blind spots. And, you know, the people that have done wrong by me, like, they're not bad folks. They're admired by many. And they're very talented and skilled. And they're not bad people. But along the way, they just decided, okay, if I have to, you know, step on this person to get where I need to get to, that's just what I'll do. But I don't think they meant to hurt me, you know? Just like I don't think people for the most part, like when you really look at their intention is to succeed, to get by, to get ahead, to make it somewhere. And yeah. So I think it takes their close circle to give them that reflection. So I think this is a project of like responsibility and introspection and
accountability.
Yeah. And but in a fun way. In a way that's just like sort of just like, you know, you can also just go do it, get some cool art if you think it's cool or not. Like, and that's it. And you don't, it's not, no pressure. Like, it's not like this whole, it doesn't need to be this whole thing. To me, it's very meaningful. And if people can leave with some self-understanding, then fucking great. And if not, that's also cool, you know? And that's
it. Well, I encourage people to go check it out because I did it and it was awesome. And even at the very least, like you're saying, just being by yourself in a place where you have to answer questions about yourself for like 15 minutes is actually therapeutic in itself and just like an interesting experience, you know, because you don't do that very often, you know? So like that was the thing that I think like, and I found myself changing my answers where I would go in and I would be like, I'd scroll back up and be like, no, I have to change that. You know what I mean? Like I was thinking about it after I answered it where I was like, am I like that? Or do I just think I'm like that? You know?
Totally.
And it's hard to answer that question, those questions, you know, but it's definitely makes you think about it. So anyways, I think it's like, we're absolutely go check it out if you're listening to this because it's a great project. You did a good job on it. And I can't wait to see what happens now after it gets released.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Dude, talking with you is awesome. We really could, like, I feel like I could do this, the fine line with you for another 6 hours.
Yeah. I don't know. You never know. Like I said, I'm going to come out to New York in May. That's my plan. Or April. I think it's April, I said. Yeah. That's my plan. So I don't have any agenda yet, but I'm going to plan on coming. So we'll have to link up. And who knows? Maybe we'll just do a fine line episode like once a quarter and just keep them up.
That'd be sick. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Jake. It's been a real pleasure being on here with you, and I would love to do it again. I would say everyone follow Jake if you're not following him. I don't know how you'd be listening to this if you weren't. Janky Jake, right? That's your Instagram?
Yeah, that's me.
Follow Janky Jake if you're listening via me. And if you're listening via Jake, then go to lookingin.nyc and get busy. You can actually go and and begin and guess which tribe you'd be part of now. So I'm Snuffy.
Cool.
And thank you.
Thanks, man. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to follow on social media and wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Spotify or Apple or Google. You can find me on Instagram at jankyjake_tattoos. And this page is at the_fine_line_ so many underscores. If there's a specific artist that you'd like me to have on the show, please feel free to send me a message and I'll see what I can do to get him on. Once again, my name is Jake Berry and this is The Fine Line.